Good evening, everybody. Let's take a moment of silent prayer at this time. This gives us an opportunity to name and cite known sins if we have them. And that way we'll be filled, controlled by God the Holy Spirit, our true mentor and teacher. Also, if there's anything bothering you, disturbing you, now's not the time to be concentrating on our problems. Now's the time to hand those over to the Lord so that we can relax and hear the Word of God as it's being taught tonight. So let's take a moment now to prepare. Father, thank you for another day of being able to gather together with the members of the body of Christ. We thank you, Father, so much for the freedom that Christ purchased for us at the cross. We thank you also, Father, for the Word of God alive and powerful that comforts us and challenges us. We thank you, Father, for the spiritual life that you allow us to live. Father, tonight we also lift up in prayer the different needs of the royal family tonight. We know that you have a perfect way of handling everything. We leave it in your hands, Father. And we also ask tonight, Father, for the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit as we study your word tonight. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on his merits we pray by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I got a couple of announcements. And this time, though, first, I'd like to have the ushers come up. And you guys are getting a handout tonight. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. It goes along with what we're going to study tonight to help you out with a little Greek tonight, so you can take that, and we'll be referring to that almost from the beginning of class tonight. Also have some good news. We have now received back from the publisher the Spanish version of the Lost Book. So, we have that, and it's entitled Perdido, which apparently means lost. Did I pronounce that correctly, Salida? Is that good? Okay, I don't really know Spanish, but I'm excited to have this. I know there are a lot of people in our community that's their first language. A lot of you have friends and acquaintances. And so this will enable the Word of God to be presented to people whose first language is Spanish. So please be sure to take advantage of that. Also, since it's Wednesday night, we are going to have a prayer meeting tonight after service, about 10 minutes after service in the prep school in the back. I encourage people to come and be a part of that. Pray for your own petitions and needs, and also to be there to listen, to hear what's going on with other people, and to be part of the royal family gathering together to lift up different needs in prayer. So encourage anybody who hasn't done that to try that out, and also we appreciate those who are faithful on a regular basis to that as well. All righty, tonight, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. By the way, I was speaking to Keithian Starling the other day, and he wanted to make sure that I extend my best wishes and love to the congregation. I know so many of you know him from the camp and from other times when he's been involved with the congregation here. So he wanted to give his love to you, and I know that you send it back to him. So Keithian Starling, keep him in prayer, because he has got a lot of challenges in his life right now with his new family, with his ministry, with the new things. He's a guy, he's just an amazing guy. He's studying, taking courses in Greek, and he's establishing a church, and he's just always trying to do everything that he can, that he's called to. So please keep him in prayer. And if there's any way that we support him, we want to do that as well. All right, please turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. We've been studying Abraham's life of faith, and we're now noting the role that patience plays in the spiritual life, patience. We've been in here in 2 Timothy 3:10 because we see here the importance that Paul places on patience in the Christian spiritual life, the race that every one of us is called to run, which is, as I mentioned before, that race is actually a marathon, and we need to understand how to run it that way. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is at the end of his race. He's about to die. And so he's turning to Timothy, who's going to pick up the torch, as it were, and run behind him to continue to follow behind Paul in the manner of life that he followed, in the greatest of adventures that there is in life. And he maps it out for us in 2 Timothy 3:10. Let's read it again tonight. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. I want you to see that Paul here layers one thing on top of another. And this is a progression where the next thing that he mentioned is always added to everything that's come before. Those don't go away. So when he says teaching and conduct, he means the teaching continues, but now that you bring into light also the conduct, understand how it is that you live the Christian way of life. What does it mean? What is the unique spiritual life? And he modeled that for Timothy. And then he moved into purpose. So the teaching and the conduct are there. And then there's this great purpose, this great destiny that Paul revealed in his own life and that Timothy caught on to. And then faith and patience and love are the same thing. Faith is our strategy for living the Christian way of life. It's a day in and day out way in which we come into contact with and receive the benefits of what God has for us. It's a way of life. It's how we learn the Word of God. And so, but that, when we move to patience and having that developed in our spiritual life, the faith remains, and layered on top of that is this virtue called patience. So it's a string of virtues, as it were, of enablement, that God wants to enable you in new ways in the spiritual life. He wants you to go from one to the other, from teaching, and you sit under teaching for a while, and then the spotlight is then on how do I then take this and realize the conduct of my life and how it relates to the teaching. And then once I have that, then I still keep those coming with me, the teaching and the conduct. So I understand that there's a response and accountability and a application of the Word of God. And then when I live that way for a while, then I start to understand the big picture, the destiny that I have as an individual, you have as an individual, as well as the corporate destiny. What is it that God's doing with the church as a whole body? And you start to relate to the fact that you're a member of the team. So in the same way, this next string, faith, patience, and love, works the same way. You live the faith way of life, which is what? Put yourself in front of the Word of God, hear what it has to say about God and about you, and then you believe that, and that opens up a channel to God's power in your life. And you live that lifestyle, and then you realize after a while that God is developing virtue in you. Well, one of those important ones, so important, the more I study, is patience. It's interesting that there are, in the New Testament, there are several of these wonderful strings where particularly Paul, but Peter as well, just writes one thing after the other, following after the other. And I went to them, and in almost every case, patience is featured. That tells us something really important. It's true in James 1. We're going to be there again tonight. It's true in Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. It's true in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. There are these things. This leads to this. It's a map for our spiritual life. It's so rich. In every case, patience is featured. That ought to tell us how important this really is, this virtue really is. And then again, when we see patience, what do we see it leading to? We see it leading to love. That lifestyle of love where we understand how much God loves us. And then we understand that we have given the capacity by God in this lifestyle where things are added, that patience is added to faith, and then this love is added to faith and patience, and we are able to love others the way God has loved us. And this verse tells us that we're not going to be able to do that unless we allow God to develop this virtue of patience in us, that it's so key to our living the life where we're able to love others the way that God loves us. Because he certainly has patience with us. And we see that all the time. And then, of course, we have a third grouping of three things mentioned here. It's the most challenging of all. After love, we have this word perseverance. As we've already seen, that's a second kind of patience. We're basically going to study those two words that wrap around love. Patience, now in this translation, it's patience and perseverance in the New American Standard. It's interesting because if you would go to the King James Version, you'd be very confused because often where the New American Standard translates something perseverance, the King James translates it patience. So you really, and that's one of the reasons why we're going to the Greek on here, because the Greek doesn't change. No matter what translation somebody wants to put out, the Greek never changes. And so we go back to the Greek, and what we're going to do tonight is I hope this is an eye-opening thing for you. We're going to see how the very context of a verse helps us so much in understanding the meaning of the Greek word. It's going to be very exciting. I think it's exciting to be able to do this. And you're going to see how accurate you can be tonight. What we're going to do is after I've given you the background and some definitions and some information about these two Greek words, We're actually going to go hunting through the New Testament where these two words appear. And I'm not going to give you the Greek word. And I intentionally used in every case I could a translation that translated each other word patience. So you can't even go by the English translation. But I think you're going to be really impressed with how you can learn the basics of how a Greek word is used and identify which one it is based on the context. What's the verse about? So we're going to do some of that tonight. Because these are very important. These are fundamental virtues. They're on either side of love. Faith leads to this kind of patience, as we're going to see again tonight, leads to love, leads to this other kind of patience that prepares us for persecutions and sufferings. And let me say this again, specifically for the cause of Christ. You see, in God's design, as we grow up spiritually, it sort of pushes us out into taking risks, pushes us out into places where there's going to be conflict. And as we do that, we're going to come under persecution and suffering. But God isn't going to push us out before we're ready. You see, He's going to develop in us this second kind of patience, this second virtue that's after the lifestyle of love to prepare us for that maturity phase when we're really out there literally suffering for the cause of Christ. Now, just realize that there's a lot of spiritual growth that happens before God's really going to put you in that kind of a crucible of pressure. But when He does, He's also going to first develop in you the second kind of patience. So we're going to look at this tonight. And again, I want to mention one more time that Paul wraps this all up in verse 11. He points to his own life. He says, you know, Timothy, I'm not kidding you. Think about what happened to me at Antioch. And we can read what happened to him at Antioch, by the way, in the book of Acts. Think about what happened to me at Iconium. Think about what happened to me at Lystra. He said, what persecutions I endured, you know? And he wasn't holding back. And, you know, we shouldn't hold back from each other either. We're going through difficult things. If you can't rely on the royal family to be somebody you can go to and have somebody able to understand your burden, who can you rely on? I mean, this is a perfect example. This is Paul, a strong saint. And yet he went to Timothy and kind of, you know, let his hair down, so to speak. He said, it was tough, but notice how he ends up. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Out of them all, the Lord rescued me. And he'll go on to say that whoever wants to live the spiritual life is going to get persecution. He says, but realize that no matter what it is, if you're in the lion's mouth, the Lord is going to rescue you. And Paul goes on to say, and it's not in the verse we're studying tonight, he says, you know what? He says, I'm sure things are going to happen in the future, but I have total confidence that the Lord is going to continue to rescue me, and He's going to allow me to complete everything that is in the plan of God. You see, that's the confidence that comes alongside this. When you develop this second kind of patience or perseverance here, and we're going to see the Greek for that again tonight, you're going to get confidence that enables you. You know, so often people, when we see some of these things in the New Testament and we're relatively new to the spiritual life, it can be very intimidating. You look at some of the things that Paul went through, or you look at some of the things that Abraham went through. And of course, our Lord and Savior had unique sufferings, and it can get really intimidating. But the hopeful thing, and please notice this in this, how this verse is structured, these two verses, is that God knows all about that. He knows the weaknesses of every heart. He knows that we are all but dust, as the Bible says. And that if He's going to allow us to go through something, He's first going to deliver the supply that we need in order to go through it. That's what this verse tells us. And so we should understand that as well. Out of them all, the Lord rescued me. So here we are. We're looking at this string. We're on our way to love. We see faith and patience and love. And the first stop, of course, is faith. That's been our subject. We've been looking at the life of Abraham. Our subject has been, what is faith all about? We've turned to Abraham to try to understand that, because he is the person in the Old Testament, and in fact, in the New Testament, points to him too, as the prime example of how to understand what faith is all about. So that's where we started, and we know that there's a faith that leads to hope, that leads to love in the Bible. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 13. And so here we're on our way to love, and we see that the only way to get from faith to love is through this word patience. And we're going to study this word tonight. The Greek word is makrothumia, as we've seen already. And you can see in the handout tonight that that's one of the words. So if you have one of these, you can start to say, hey, that's one of the words on this sheet. That's, and that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to look at the Greek word for patience here in 2 Timothy 3:10, which is macrothumia. And then we're going to look at the Greek word for perseverance, which is hupomone. And that's what we're basically going to study tonight, those two Greek words. And we're going to see how context brings out meaning. It's very exciting. I'm excited to do this with you tonight, to be able to actually master and really understand that, the Word of God provides a lot of clues in a verse, in a setting, to enable us to understand the meaning of words. Even if we can't see the Greek, you're going to be able tonight, by understanding what the word basically means and looking at the context in a verse, to decide for yourself whether it's macrothumia or hupomone. And your hit rate's going to be pretty good if you concentrate. So it's one of those opportunities we have to look at the original language, to understand how language is put together, and to gain more confidence that you too can understand what a verse has to say by looking at the context, the clues that are around a particular word. In any event, that's where we're headed tonight, how context brings out meaning with the two Greek words for patience. And so we're on our way to love here in 2 Timothy 3:10. We stopped at faith. And the only way to get from faith to love is through this thing called patience. The Greek word for that is macrothumia. Macrothumia. As we've seen already, this word is part of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. We saw that. It's part of what the Holy Spirit is at work doing in our lives. We also saw this definition last week. Macrothumia is a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation and without complaint or irritation. Again, a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation, you're being provoked, and without complaint or irritation. And this is a virtue. This is supernatural ability that God wants to give you more and more of. This doesn't come naturally. Human beings don't naturally behave this way. If people are provoked, they usually react. They usually get angry. If somebody is causing a lot of difficulty in somebody's lives, 99 times out of 100, the person's going to complain about it to somebody. They're going to be irritated on the inside, you know, but at a certain point in the spiritual life, that all becomes a great hindrance to you living out the calling in your life. And you need to have developed in your soul something from God to enable you to hang in there, to put a buffer between you and these things, because they're not going to get easier. You know, as you advance in the spiritual life, the challenges from people are going to get more difficult, not easier. And so God knows that. So what is he going to do? He's got an answer. He's going to develop as you allow the Word of God to be in your soul and you live it out and you're obedient to it and you develop a more intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is allowed in your soul to do his work, you're going to receive this virtue that's going to enable you not to get bursting out in anger when these things come at you, when people are antagonistic to you. But it's not natural. It's supernatural. It comes from God. It's why this is the importance of a daily commitment to God's Word. You know, it's because that's how it happens. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's living and active. Do you believe that? And if you do, then start translating it and say, well, how exactly does that work? Well, you know that anger is powerful, right? I mean, we don't need, how many examples do we need? How many people are in jail today because anger is powerful? How many marriages have been broken because anger is powerful? We know that. The issue is, okay, so what is it that's going to be more powerful than that? And that's when we have to say, God's going to come on the scene and give me what I don't have, because naturally, I get as angry as the next guy. In fact, being Irish, I get more angry than most people. If you don't believe me, you just read the book of Galatians, which is written to who became the Irish race, okay? You'll notice how many times Paul had to deal with anger among those people, so I'm with you on this, okay? We're all in the same boat. I'm not preaching from up here. By the way, you all be realized that if it was required for a pastor to have already mastered these things and be able to preach down at you like that, there'd be very little preaching going on if anybody had any integrity, okay? Because I'm as guilty of most of all these things as you are, all right? But that enables me to be like you and to be able to be honest in the communication of it and still marvel, maybe more so, at the power of God anyway. And that's why we're here as the saints, as the royal family, to marvel what he's doing in our lives. He's producing this. He's given you the ability to do this. He's given the shock absorbers on your soul to be able to not react so quickly. That's what this is all about. We've seen it's a compound word. It just means it's made up of two smaller words that are squished together. Makros, which just means long. But it means long in place or long in time. And in our context, it really brings out time element. It takes a long time for something to happen. There's a big cushion there. There's a long fuse before the blow-up occurs. Because the other part of the word is thumos. And it means passion, indignation, rage, temper, angry heat. That's this word comes from, these two words. Makros, which means long. Think about a long time for something to happen. And then thumos, meaning rage, anger, temper. Long time before you lose your temper. That's really, this is what this word means. That's how it was constructed anyway. So that's what it means. It means it takes a long time to boil over or to blow up. Long fuse on the firecracker. Come on, you got to have some fun. I mean, this is tough stuff. We're patience is hard for every one of us. If we can't laugh at it and have a little fun, we're in big trouble. Because I had this picture of my youth. I was like, where did I see a long fuse all the time? Every time on Saturday morning, I saw somebody rolling out this long fuse before the TNT blows up. And it finally dawned on me. Beep, beep. There's the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. But that's the idea. Long fuse. Long fuse. So this is an attribute, to be able to have something about you that controls you from boiling over. And as I mentioned before, if you know about the thermal properties of mass, meaning things heat up at various rates, okay? If you want something to take a long time to heat up, what you got to do is have a big mass, okay? It's like if people that build these solar houses and they want the thing to heat up, they put a big mass so that they keep absorbing heat, absorbing heat, absorbing heat. You see, it's the same thing with your soul. If you only have a little bit of God's word, okay, there's not, all of a sudden, it doesn't take much heat to boil over. As you get more and more of God's word in your soul, and you've applied it, and you understand it, and it's taken root in your soul, and you've got a mass, the Bible talks about, for example, becoming oaks of righteousness, meaning big tree, right? Now it takes a long time, because you've got a lot of mass in your soul. That's part of this as well. That's why it takes time. That's why you have faith, believe in the word of God, and there's a lifestyle leading into this virtue called patience. So then let's look again at our passage, 2 Timothy 3:10. You followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience. That's macrothumia. That's the word we started with tonight. And then next we have love. But we're not done when we arrive at love. You see, it's not the end. The journey continues, and we must journey with something new that comes on the scene at the end of verse 10. And it's that word perseverance, that word perseverance, translated in the New American Standard. Now that word is a separate Greek word. It's a second one. It's on your sheet tonight, the last column. Hupomone. Hupomone. I remember how to pronounce this word now because I think about one of my favorite painters and my favorite sport. And I put them together. Hoop, basketball, and Mone, the painter. And I put those two together and I can pronounce this right, finally. Hupomone. All right, accent on the last syllable. Hupomone. Now, what is it? It's this. It's needed to be able to bear up with hope under persecutions and sufferings. See, it's different. You see, the focus with the first one, macrothumia, is people. People that get you angry really easily, or used to. Here, the focus is not people so much as situations, circumstances, persecutions, sufferings. It could be an illness. It could be a job that you feel like is just too burdensome. But it's something in your life, and you know God wants you to be there, but it puts a lot of pressure on you. And you don't want to escape it. You need something, again, supernatural. Because you know that 99 out of 100 people would run away. They'd quit. But you know you're not supposed to. And yet, you're as human as the next person. You need supernatural power in order to stay there. That's the sense of this word. Maybe, again, it's a marriage situation. Maybe it's another kind of prison situation where you don't see anything immediately coming in to change the circumstances. You know you're supposed to remain, but you need help. You're at the end of your rope. You need something more and able to give you what it takes to stay in whatever that situation is. The something that you need is hupomone. It's another supernatural quality that God wants to develop in your soul. And notice that it comes after love. What does that mean? In other words, after you've mastered how to love other people, your spiritual life continues. And then it goes into the more challenging circumstances where now you're facing undeserved suffering. You're facing chaos and difficulty, things not of your own making that you've been put into that you have to learn how to deal with. So it's not people anymore, it's circumstances. And you need something again, a shock absorber, a second kind of shock absorber in your soul to be able to hang in there and not run away, to stay in place, to not be easily moved. That's what this word means, to be able to bear up with hope. And that's the key. You see, that's this Christian way of life is supernatural, but it's explainable. You see, the thing it is, the Word of God really does contain power. In other words, knowing the truth about what God has promised for you contains real power in your soul. It's the difference between why does one person continue under such difficult circumstances and another quit? You see, because one had power that the other didn't have. One had a promise from the Word of God that they were enabled, that gave them hope, that they could continue and bear up under sorrows. The other didn't. The other did not have that and quit. Those are huge differences in a life. One had the power and the other didn't use it. And this is his power, hupomone, to be able to bear up with hope under persecutions and sufferings. And so it's a capacity. Again, it's really similar in the sense that, okay, if there's pressure, again, on an object, us, right? And one object, you put a little pressure on it and it just moves. Another object, you put more pressure on it and it stays. Well, what's the difference between an object that moves really quickly and one that stays? You know what? It's the same thing. It's mass. If you have a mass of the Word of God in your soul, you're not so easily moved. If you have a puny amount of the Word of God, you're easily moved. You know, every wind of doctrine will push you around. But if you've got a mass of the Word of God in your soul, you're not easily moved. You're able to hang in there and persevere and stay and remain where God has placed you. Hupomone, the capacity to continue to endure with hope under difficult circumstances. By the way, interestingly, it's a second compound word, just like microthumia is. Hupomone is too. It's made up of hupo and meno. Now, hupo means under or beneath or below. Just like, and I always get confused this in the English, you know how you have blood pressure? You have, or like a hypodermic needle and a hyperdermic needle, a hypo. I don't know why they did that. Why did somebody create a language where two opposites sound almost identical? Hypo, hyper. And if you're from Rhode Island, you can't even pronounce them differently. They all sound the same anyway. And everyone in your life, and oh, I didn't even know what the doctor's hypo, herpa. But here, it's hypo, under. Hypodermic means under the skin. All right, but anyway. Under, beneath, below. And then meno means to remain. Abide is actually translated often, to remain somewhere, in a place or a state. But the key is, in the New Testament anyway, with expectancy concerning a future event. Like I said, if somebody has promised you, you stay here, and the day is going to come in the not too distant future where you're going to be tremendously blessed if you remain. You see, that promise, that expecting something in the future good, is what keeps you there. It's what allows you to remain under difficult circumstances. The Bible is full of that stuff. You know, we just got our Spanish version of the Lost Book. I know for most of you people, it may be tough to read it in Spanish, but guess what? We still have it in English, too. We didn't throw that away. And the promises of God, some of them are listed in here. You know, that's power. God's promises are power. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've put your transgressions from you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Neither life nor death, nor principalities or powers, or past or future, or any created thing can come between you and the love of God in Christ Jesus. There's power in those words. That's what allows one to remain when another leaves. When you understand that, for example, and your marriage has been designed so that you display virtue and glorify your Lord and Savior, that the woman, when she shows respect when the man doesn't deserve it, is doing that in order to glorify, show respect and honor to Jesus Christ. There's power in that. There's motivation in that. You have it, another person doesn't. Why? Because you've sat under the Word of God and you understand what's going on in your life. You may, as your man, it's the same thing. You understand you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church, that there's something virtuous in that, that you're teaching the angels something in that. So if you're there and you're not getting the stuff back that you want in that relationship, it's okay. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you step back and you say, you know, I'm not just doing it for her anymore. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it because I know that this is something that demonstrates things to the angels when I do it. That I can take your power, Father, your power, Lord, and use it in my life. And the very act of doing that is accomplishing something. There's reason, there's value, there's virtue. There's eternal significance to you remaining in that situation, even though you're not getting any of your jollies out of it. You're not getting anything back in the situation. But you know something. You know the purpose behind it. And you can remain. You can remain. And that's how does that happen? The power of God. Power of God's word developing this capacity in you. This capacity to do that. To remain. To bear up under sorrows with hope. To not give up, even if you have to wait all the way till the day that the Son of God comes down from heaven. You can do it because you know that there's reason, there's purpose, there's meaning to your life now. You've read enough of God's word to understand about the plan, that he's in the midst of perfecting and glorifying you. And you want that work to continue no matter what. You've come so far, you're not going to give up now. That's the kind of attitude that you want to have. And it's developed through the word of God. This faith in the word of God gets tested under trial. Please turn to James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Because I want you to understand that the New Testament maps this out for us. You may be saying, how does this work? This is kind of a mysterious thing now. I know that this is developing in my soul, but how? Well, you turn to a passage like James 1, verse 2, and we can see it mapped out again. A lot of maps in the New Testament. You know, I mentioned a couple others. I don't have them in my notes, but I was thinking about it and getting ready for tonight. You know, Romans 5, verses 3 to 5 is another map. We're going to go there. I think we may go there tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. It's another map saying this goes to this goes to this. This is how it's done. You want an insight into the work that the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you, go to these places in the New Testament. You can see him at work. This is what he's doing. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. Wait a minute. So my faith, that's active. That's you putting yourself in front of the promises of God, the word of God, believing them, opening up, remember, tying your need to God's essence. Things are happening through the word of God. Faith. But then it gets tested, right? It's like anything else. You build something. You build a strong rope. If you're God, remember we talked about that rope of faith between your need and his essence. It's built for a while. Then you say, geez, you know, down the road, I'm going to take this saint and I'm going to put him in a real difficult situation. I want to test the rope. I want to see how strong it is. So there are times when he's going to do that in your life. What happens when the testing of your faith produces something? It produces this thing called endurance. And of course, the Greek word here for endurance is hupomone. Why? Because it has to do with remaining under trials and having something produced. God is at work. When you're going through things and you claim the word of God, there's something else happening. God's at work. He's producing something else virtuous in your soul. This hupomone, this ability to remain under difficult circumstances. This endurance, let it have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, isn't that a great thing to be perfect and complete? You see, this is what I'm talking about, okay? Two people going through the same thing, a trial. Again, maybe it's in your marriage, okay? You and a friend, okay, are going through the same trial in your marriage. Same thing, as far as you know, okay? You're in the Word of God, and you come and you study James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. All right, and you have this now. What do you have? You have capacity. You say, you know, I don't quite get all this, but I know there's a way in which I can take my trial and consider a joy. And I also know that this word of God promises me that when I do that, something's being produced. It's not all in vain. I don't just grin and bear it to show how tough I am. Something's being produced. I'm getting new virtue in my soul. And as I continue to do this and trust the word of God, that thing continues. God, the Holy Spirit's work is growing and growing in me to the point where God can say, you know what? There's a day out there when I'm going to look at you in time, by the way, and say, you're complete now. You're complete. Now, not totally, But there's a part at which where he's had a project and he's completed it. And you're a totally different person. And he can take you and he can put you in part of his program that's magnificent because of this process. How were you able to hang in there till the end when other people were running out of the furnace months and years ago? Because you knew this. You had hope. You said, there's something he's doing here. It's not just in vain. All right, so two Greek words. You have this in front of you. Okay, we're going to refer to this now. I want you to become a master at these two Greek words, makrothumia and hupomone. They're both in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. One is on the way from faith to love, having to do with people. The other is on the way from love to persecution, having to do with situations. Now, makrothumia, there's a picture of hupomone. If I get too many pictures, you saw those on Sunday. You don't have to see them again. I just thought that was a fairly dramatic way of, look at another picture, of looking at hupomone, right? What does that mean? Remaining under a difficult circumstance, prison situation. That's hupomone. All right, makrothumia now. We're going to go back and forth, okay? Get a little nimble in your soul. Be going back and forth, okay? So you can be a master at it. That's how you do it, you know? Compare and contrast. What's the difference? You should be asking yourself, how do I differentiate between these two kinds of patients, between makrothumia and hupomone? I'm looking for clues now. All right, here's how we start. Makrothumia is between faith and love, as we've seen. It's where we learn to handle our anger. Anger. It's patience with respect to people. Again, two important keys. It's where we learn to handle our anger. People are going to be hostile to us. The natural thing is going to happen. And by the way, it's going to continue to happen. You know, a lot of saints get discouraged. A lot of believers get discouraged when they get put in a situation and they find that the same thing erupts again. The anger or the sadness or the emotions. Those emotions are still going to be there. What's the difference? The difference is you got new supply coming from another place. You now have something available to you that's power that's greater than that anger that's always been there and always going to be there. It's not like somebody turns a circuit off. Somebody gives you a pill, and all of a sudden the angry circuit is gone. That's not the Christian way of life. Remember, it's always substitution. Yeah, that's there. That's the old man. Anger. Going to be angry till the day you die. By the way, the old man's getting worse, the old sin nature inside of you. There's verses in the Bible that say it's getting worse, not getting better. So you look at that, and it seems hopeless until you remember God, that he's at work, and he's pouring into you something to substitute, to be greater than. Remember when you in school and you had this is greater than that? That's what this is all about. Giving you something greater. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The world doesn't disappear when you become a mature Christian. It's still there. What happened? Well, you got something that was greater than that. And it's the same thing here. We get something more powerful than anger. Patience with respect to people. Opposite, of course, is that anger and revenge. That's the opposite of makrothumia. And so if you see somebody who's angry and bent on vengeance, you know they're not operating in that supernatural power. Nice picture of a guy who's cable installer, doesn't know he's going to wait a whole 8 hours to figure out maybe the cable guy's going to be there or not. And he's going to strangle the poor telecommunications person at the cable company. That's not the virtue we're talking about. That's the opposite. So that's makrothumia. And again, it means, think about anger, people. Now, the second word that we've seen is hupomone, between love and suffering. And think about it that way. You know, you learn how to deal with people. Then, as part of the plan of God, situations will come into your life involving suffering for the cause of Christ. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about deserved or suffering that I don't like deserved and undeserved. I don't want to get into that tonight. Because we either deserve it all, we don't deserve any of it. We're all born sinners. You figure it out. But the issue is it for the cause of Christ or because of something we did? There's two kinds of suffering, right? You know sometimes the stuff you did, you put yourself in that situation. But there's also times when you're stepping out, you're obedient to the word of God, you know you're taking a risk, and you do it, and you get hit because of it, because of Christ. That's what we're talking about here. Between love and that kind of suffering, it's where we learn to handle adversity. Not anger. Adversity. It is endurance. It's putting up not with people, but with circumstances. You see the difference? Makrothumia, this is the biggest difference, putting up with people. Hupomone, putting up with difficult circumstances. The job, the family situation, whatever it might be, a health problem, whatever it might be in your life, not enough finances. And it seems chronic. And you just, well, I need something here. I don't like this. I want to put up with it. How do I do it? You need something supernatural from God. It's called hupomone. How to handle adversity. The opposite, cowardice and despair. A very great way to learn something is to learn its opposite. Okay, that's why I'm including that as well. What's the opposite? What is not operating in this power from God called hupomone? Being a coward, quitting, despairing. That's what happens when you don't have this supply in your life. That's your natural reaction. Please don't feel guilty about this, by the way. We've all been there. Everybody has been in a situation where the pressure seemed too much and we ran away. You know, I mean, I think of a novel I read when I was a young man called The Red Badge of Courage. I don't know if you ever read that book, but it's a short book. It's a great American novel, classic. And it's all about that. It's all about, you know, very often the first time we're put in a situation, we totally blow it. You know, in a pressure situation. You know, you can think, all of us can think about situations in our life, maybe with a little regret, where we were in a situation, we had an opportunity to be what we considered courageous, heroic, and we ran away. Everybody's got those. You see why? Because we're human. Because we were born in Adam. You know? So what's the deal? The deal is that Christ is our Savior. That He came and He wants to impart His virtues, His courage to us. You know, like the cowardly lion. And what does he get at the end of the Wizard of Oz? Whatever he gets, you know. That's just an illustration. But what is it? Come on, speak up. Yeah, but what is he? What's the thing he gets? You know, they have no more courage than you do, but they do have. Yeah, metal, right? Well, we have something better than that. You see, we get real courage, but it's from God. I live this life. I live by faith in the Son of God. It's always from Him. It's always His supply because He gets the glory when that happens. But opposite of this hupomone is cowardice and despair. So you can see that this is a very important virtue. You can see how magnificent it can be when people get it in their lives versus when they don't. The act two versus the act one. Remember how God very often puts us in act one first, meaning here's you without me. And then we watch ourselves fall apart. Everybody, other people do too. The angels watch them fall apart. They go, oh, that's what they're really like. Then you learn the word of God, the faith, the hope, the love. Then you get the perseverance from God. And then what happens? He brings act two on the scene. And what happens? You get the same kind of situation you used to run away from. And then you're there and you're magnificent. You persevere. You hang in there. You don't run away. You remain. You're not easily moved. And what's the difference? It all came from God. Why? Because the angels got to watch act one. They know what you're like. But now they're watching act two and they're praising God. And that is the Christian way of life. To see Him pour this into us and the difference that He makes in our lives. To be able to put up and handle adversity. This should be very encouraging. I hope it is. Because too often, you know, what do? When we think about courage and us becoming that, all we can do is look at our past and look at our failure and say, I'll never do that. And you know what? You're right. You never will on your own. You won't. But you have an opportunity to step into a life where you live by faith in the Son of God, where you can leave behind the old and step into the new. Old things are passing away. New things have come. Well, one of those new things is this, a virtue that God wants to develop in your soul, hupomone, being able to handle difficult circumstances. So what I want to do for the remainder of the time tonight is to just key off this sheet, and I'm going to put things up on the board, but I also wanted to have it all on one page for you so that you can refer to it. So when we have our little gaming activity, maybe we'll do it tonight if we have time, you'll have this right in front of you. It's not a cheat sheet. I want you to look at it. Because believe it or not, what we're going to do together is a pretty powerful skill that anybody who wants to study the original language has to develop to know how to translate a word, by the way. You have to look at the context and say, what's the right way to translate this word? What do I know about this word in other contexts? And then I'm going to translate it here. So what we're going to do is actually pretty advanced. Basically, when we're done looking at this, I'm going to put up verses that have one of these words, and you're going to guess which one based on the context. So it's going to be fun. But it's also going to be a great way to demonstrate that you have more skill than maybe you think you do when it comes to mastering how the Bible is put together. So we're just going to go through this. It's already on your sheet. But, here's another picture. You know me, I love them. This is hupomone and not. Okay, the guy at the top has it. The guy at the bottom doesn't. He's quitting. I've had enough. That's it. I'm gone. I can't take it anymore. He's 2 inches away from a diamond mind. And I want you to put that in your head the next time you're tempted to give up on the plan of God. Give up on what God has you. You may be 2 inches away from a diamond mine. You know, be like the top guy and say, you know what? Not I, but Christ that lives in me. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through another day. And just keep hanging in there. Again, as you know, it's from God. I'm not saying you should, no matter what bad thing comes in your life, you should stay in it. But I am saying when you know it's from God, then you should stay in it. By the power that he supplies. So, okay, let's get cracking. Macrothumia means forbearance, which creates a gracious, lenient attitude toward others. You can see that as definition. See, the way this works is we've already gotten through the first two, directed towards people and circumstances, the opposite. We already covered that. So now we're on the third thing, the definition. So it's you should be able to follow along on this sheet and just kind of relax and think about it and kind of have it absorb it. Forbearance. Creating a gracious, lenient attitude toward others. The plan of God in the church age involves this organism called the church, the royal family, where he says, I've built you to be part of one another. You're members one of the other. That's not going to work too well if you got people that can't stand each other and can't spend more than 10 minutes together because they blow up. Okay, you feeling me on this? This is a very practical virtue for the life that we're called to. The life where we become more gracious, more aware of others, not quick to judge anymore, not quick to be angry, not quick to be running to my needs, but thinking about the needs of others. That's in the Bible, by the way. That's in the New Testament. You know, but how are you going to bear others' burdens if you're just unable to have this, a gracious, lenient attitude towards other people? That's macrothumia. It's a supernatural thing that God wants to give you. On the other hand, here we go. Yeah, we saw this guy on Sunday, too. See, this is a guy who is sort of just starting to try to do this macrothumia thing. He knows he's supposed to be like that, but he can't be that way yet, so he puts a mask on. You know, that's not what we really have in mind. This is real development in God's ways, but if you have to fake it for a while till you make it, then sometimes that's what you have to do. Hopefully, you can advance from this stage pretty quickly. Now, on the other hand, the other kind of patience is courageous endurance, a patient, steadfast waiting with hope. You see, one of it's in encounters with people where, you know, you're in and you're out, or maybe you're not, but there's a circumstance that really gets you angry and you need power to be able to handle it. The other is chronic. The other is a circumstance that you're in, that you're going to be in for a while. And what you need is a way to endure it, a way to have hope as you're waiting. And that's the second kind of patience. It's hupomone. And there's a picture. I love this picture, too. You see, those storks, what are those guys? Are they storks? What are they, pelicans? You see, they got it. They got hupomone. You see, they're waiting. They're waiting. There's nothing in their bellies, but they got hope. They said, sooner or later, this guy is going to pull a fish out of the water. And when he does, we're going to be happy. You see, that's you, the promises of God. That's right there. That's hupomone, a patient waiting with expectation. Expectation. That's what this word means. Macrothumia, as we've seen already, literally means long temper. That's literal, long temper. Hupomone literally means remaining under. Remaining under what pressure? Affliction, difficulty, remaining, not running away, not quitting, not easily moved. It's all on your sheet, so you can just kind of take it all in. Macrothumia means not. Again, sometimes what you're not doing anymore. Not lashing out at people anymore. Not easily provoked anymore. You know, the things that used to bother you don't bother you as much anymore. That's a big thing, you know, about people, I mean. You know, I mean, if you look at, and I'm not picking on you young people, but you got to understand something, right? Young people typically are very good and not holding back when it comes to the sin nature flowing around, right? It's not your fault. You just, you know, that's just the way you are. As we grow up, though, in the faith, we're supposed to be able to allow the Word of God to kind of combat and overcome that. But, you know, if you think about your own life, when I was young, everything bothered me about certain people, especially family members, by the way. You know, there were at least 18 bad habits that drove me crazy about my brother. At least 18. You know, and I used to yell and scream about every one of them from time to time. You know, that's not macrothumia. You know, it's the opposite of that. Not easily provoked. And again, it's the great thing about this is the discovery that almost despite yourself, it's happening. Have you ever had that? If you've been in the Christian way of life for a while, a day comes where you're with somebody you can't stand and you're like nice to them. And you're like, but that's not me. What is that, right? It's evidence that God, the Holy Spirit's taken over in part of your life. And it is really like that. It's amazing. Like, you know, I've shared with you some of my things about driving, right? And me and driving. Woo. But I'm actually finding now that I'm able to get behind somebody who's going 20 miles below the speed limit and just relax. That's not me. I'm like, who is this guy, right? Macrothumia, slowly but surely, it's developed. Not lashing out, not easily provoked. On the other hand, hupomone means not quitting. See, these are different. Can you see that these are different? One is that sort of that short-term burst where I can't stand it, and then short-term against a person. The other is a different virtue. It's hanging in there for the long haul, having a reason that, and you have to go back to the reason over and over and over again about why it is that you're not quitting. But it's power from God, not losing heart. That's courage, by the way, not losing heart. There's so much in God's word about that. You know, for example, in the book of Hebrews, there's so much about it. Hang in there. You will reap if you don't grow weary. Well, how do I not grow weary? I'm a weak, fallible human being, Lord, because I'm going to pour into your life this virtue called hupomone, if you let me, that I'll give you the power so that you won't lose heart, that you won't quit. Macrothumia is often used of God. In other words, there are verses where God has this with us almost always. And this is a big clue for several of the verses we're going to look at. When God is the subject and he has it, it's almost always the first one. Macrothumia. You see, because God has no problem enduring. God's outside of time. Okay. He has no problem enduring hardship or affliction or circumstances. You know, because if you're God, you know, you can change circumstances anytime you want. Therefore, it doesn't bother you. I mean, that's a big clue, by the way. You know, if you know that there's something that can happen to change at any time you want, it's not going to bother you. It's only when you don't think there's any relief or way out that it starts to bother you. So God doesn't need hupomone. Now, he gives it to us because we need it. But interestingly, he does need to use macrothumia. And this is more deep than maybe it appears at first. I mean, we're so used to the idea, yeah, he's got to be patient with me, especially with you. I know he's got to be patient with you. I got to be patient with you too, but I know he's got to be patient with you, right? We know that. But why? Why is he willing to take upon himself the yoke of this virtue when he doesn't need the other? What is it about people where he reserves something special that he doesn't even deal with when it comes to circumstances? You know what I'm saying? In other words, in his sovereignty, he decided that you could have freedom and choice and that he was going to live with it. And that required him to exercise over and over and over again this thing called macrothumia, not lashing out, holding back the wrath of God and honoring you in your choices, even though they're wrong. I mean, there's something pretty profound about that. And again, we get that from very simply going at the Greek and noticing whenever God's on the scene and patience is the subject, it's this kind to people. He provides that to you and me as people. That's not something he deals with circumstances. But in any event, macrothumia, often used of God. Hupomone, seldom, if ever, used of God. I say it that way because some translations of hupomone will apply it to God. But as I've done this study, I'm convinced that those translations are probably not right. That what is in view there is, again, something that comes from God that's given to us, this quality. Because his issue is being patient with people. In any event, this is a big clue. You know, if I had to say the two things that you want to remember is people versus circumstance, actually three. People versus circumstances is a way to tell these apart. If it's patience towards people, macrothumia. If it's towards circumstances and affliction, it's hupomone. The other one is if God's on the scene, it's macrothumia. That's going to be, you'll be able to pick that one up right away. And the last one is in the verse, in the very verse, what is it being related to? What's also on the scene? It's fascinating, but so often when macrothumia is related to something, it's related to love. It's a companion or a precursor to being able to love people the way that God loves. It's associated with that. And it makes sense. It's about people, it's related to love, macrothumia. On the other hand, hupomone very often is related to hope in the midst of persecution. Hope in the midst of persecution. Now, I'm saying all of this so that you can absorb this, and now here you have tools. When we go, we're going to do this some of this tonight. Okay, if I see it's related to love, that's macrothumia. If I see hope and persecution in the verse, it's hupomone. And it's exciting to see how this is true again and again and again and again. It's how context builds up our understanding of the meaning of a Greek word, if you know what I'm saying. If you look in the New Testament and you start to say, what? Every time this verse, this word in the Greek shows up, I'm noticing some commonality. I'm noticing, hey, hope's on the scene. Persecution is on the scene. That's how we construct the meaning. You know, we don't have anybody who was alive in the first century to go to, right? And say, what's this word mean? They're all dead. You know? So what do we have to do? We got to go to documents that have the words and piece it together. I don't say we, but people who come up with these definitions of the words, that's what they had to do. They had to pore over text after text after text and say, what is this telling us? You had to look at other words in context to figure out what that word means. And that's what we're going to have a little taste of that. So, Proverbs 16:32. You see, it's often a matter of what we don't do rather than what we do. He who is slow to anger, this is macrothumia, because this is the Old Testament, so it's not the Greek, it's the Hebrew, but the idea, the principle. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. On the other hand, I got a quote here from my friend Julius Caesar, talking about hupomone. It is easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. That's hupomone. It's easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. Under a trial, you bear up and you don't lose heart. All right, so again, briefly, oh yeah, there's my long distance runner. That's hupomone, hanging in there under difficult circumstances. All right, macrothumia, patience exhibited under ill treatment by a person. Hupomone, patience shown under trials, difficulties, and hardships. Again, I'm saying the same thing different ways. I just want you to get it, okay? Ill treatment by a person, that's macrothumia. Trials and difficulties and hardships, that's hupomone. So what I want to do tonight, just get started. I keep talking about this. We're going to do a little of it, a couple of it tonight. Bible quiz time. Is it macrothumia or is it hupomone? Are you ready? Just a couple. Now to make this a little more interesting, you see, we're going to have a little contest, you see, between the people on this side and the people on that side. Okay? So we'll have to see how this goes. All right. Just a little fun. I mean, I'm not going to get microphones or anything. I won't put you on the spot. Matthew 18:26. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Now, I'm giving you clues here. I'm going to help you out at the beginning. I put in italics, the thing I think is the biggest clue to which one it is. This is easy, man. But it's just to help you out a little. Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Is it macrothumia or is it hupomone? This side first. Macrothumia, what do you guys think? Yeah, you guys, see, I trained you well already. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, next one. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Is it macrothumia or hupomone? Which one? Which one? Why? You guys are awesome. I'm taking you on the road. We're going to kick butt in the Greek, whatever we have, macrothumia. All right, Romans 5:3-4. Knowing that tribulation brings about patience, and patience, proven character, and proven character, hope. Which one is it? Hupomone. But you know, but seriously now, can you see how exciting it is to actually see this coming out? Wait a minute. There it is. There's my word, and there's hope in tribulation. You know, it's really, I mean, maybe I spend too much time in front of a computer and books, but to me, it was very exciting to see this play out in living color in the Word of God, something that was a definition on a page, actually playing out and saying, it's really the case that when I go and see this Word, they're really around it. The hope and the tribulation is all about it. Good. Hupomone. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Man, you guys are the best. Yes. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Thank you. Yeah, the very first word, right, associated with love. Good. 2 Corinthians 1:6. But if we are afflicted, hint, hint, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. But if you guys are right. You're absolutely right. It's no fun. You're all getting it right. I can't pit you against each other or anything. All right, last one. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith. This is a tricky one. And labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, see, because you got to go closest. This is part of being a good scholar. Love's in the verse, but it's not really associated. It's associated with labor. The steadfastness is associated with hope, and that means it's hope. You guys are the best. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to go to your word and to see some exciting principles that relate to what you're developing inside the souls of those who are going forward in your plan and with your word. Thank you also, Father, for helping us to get skilled in understanding how we can look at the context and gain meaning from the words that are there. We ask this all now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, happy day.